Good morning, Veritas. It is good to be back from China and to be welcomed home from all that Chinese food with some good old mashed potatoes and gravy. So it's good timing being back. And I am a little hungover from China and Thanksgiving. So we'll see how this goes this morning. But it is so good to be back with you, worshiping Jesus together and just proclaiming He is beautiful. And I hope this morning, our hope as a church is that if you're new to Christianity, maybe someone brought you this morning, you're visiting, we just hope that you'll see Jesus and He is beautiful and that you will see and be drawn to Him this morning. So going to China, I was excited to get a break from all of the political chaos and conversations, and you know, we're going to China to get away from everything as the dust was kind of settling from the election and everything when we left. And one of the first things that happened, we get to China and we're hanging out in this classroom with Miranda, teaches English there. We're hanging out in her classroom. She teaches high school students. And so she got the students in groups and we got to hang out with them and they ask questions. And she's like, now what are some examples of questions you could ask the Americans? And one kid raises his hand. He's like, Schwump. Want to talk about Schwump. All right. The Donald Trump. He wants to talk, have this political conversation. And we're in this cab in Hong Kong. And in Hong Kong, they speak Cantonese. And so Luke Haverkamp was with us. He couldn't understand the language, but he could understand Trump. Okay. Every once in a while, the name Trump. So the talk show hosts in Hong Kong are talking about it. So that's what's going on in the world, right? Our sort of chaos is spilled over to the ends of the earth. And so this is what people are talking about. And even in China, people are have very strong opinions about the situation in America. Now, here's the good news, okay? Although we look around at our world and we see that people and nations are becoming increasingly divided, so divided as a nation, but also our nation from other nations, and here's the good news. We've been studying Ephesians, and what we've learned is God is putting humanity back together again. Isn't that great news this morning? That we as a people, through Christ, are being brought together. Now, last week, Mark Vance, the director of Salt Company over in Ames, came and spoke. And do yourself a favor and listen to his message. He did an outstanding job on Ephesians 2, and we're continuing that. And one of the illustrations that he used, he was saying that in Ephesians 2, it says that there was this dividing wall of hostility that existed in the temple, this 4.5-foot wall, and the Gentiles, the non-Jews, were kept outside of the kind of the inner court area where only the Jewish people could go, only the descendants of Abraham. And so all of us were left on the outside, and we overlooked this wall looking in at what was happening among the people of God, but we were outsiders. And he used the illustration of a triangle. Imagine two corners of the triangle, two points, one being the Jewish people and one being us, Gentiles, outsiders. And as we move toward the peak being the cross, as we move toward the cross, we come and we meet each other at that point of the triangle, which is in Christ. So as we come to Jesus, we come toward each other. And so in Christ, God is creating this new society He calls the church. This is the place. We are the people of God. And this people, it transcends all sociological barriers, divisions, all cultures, all races, tribes, languages. This people of God comes together and all those distinctions go away in the person of Jesus Christ. So we continue this thought as we enter verse 17. It says, so Ephesians 2, verse 17, these verses will be on the screen if you don't have a Bible. It says, and he came and preached peace to you who are far off and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access in one spirit to the Father. Here's the first point I want you to write down. This is what happens as a result of the cross. Okay, through the cross, Jesus gives us access. Jesus gives us access. Now, this word that he uses was the word for, you know, he says that he gives us access in one spirit to the Father. This word is the official in an Oriental court whose job was to usher people into the presence of the king. And so this is what Jesus does for us. He takes on this role, is that Jesus personally walks us into the presence of God. Now, this is so huge because I want you to think about the problem that the Bible is trying to solve. Because a lot of us, we come in this morning and we've got a lot of things on our mind, things we're anxious about. I'm telling you, you have no greater problem this morning than this problem of relationship with God, okay? And this is what the problem that Jesus came to solve, and it begins, it's what the whole story is about. And I want you to see this, because this is no small thing, Jesus walking us into the presence of God. I want us to look at the first page of the Bible and the last page of the Bible. Okay, so Genesis 3. Genesis 3:22. So this actually might be the second or third page. It says this. This is right after Adam and Eve eat the fruit, and the first thing that happens, the Lord God says, the man now has become like one of us, knowing good and evil. He must not be allowed to reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life to eat and live forever. So there were two trees. There was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He said, don't eat from that tree. And there was a tree of life in the middle of the garden. And so, verse 23, so the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he had been taken. And he drove the man out. He placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. Humanity is banished from the presence of God. So much hostility between us and God now that God actually posts an angel with a flaming sword to let us know that we are not welcome to eat from the tree of life. We are cut out of the presence of God. So that when verse 17, Paul says, he came and preached peace. Here's the significance of that. What sin did is it brought on the curse. And here's what the curse is. Humanity is at war with God. God has become our enemy. So the question the Bible is asking is, how can humanity get access to God again? So we all want to get along, right? So we say well-intentioned things to each other. Like, can't we all just get along? Or love wins. Or maybe this is what life is about. Just eat, pray, love. Peace, peace, we say to each other. And we want world peace, all of us. Desperately want peace. But here's the problem. These statements are sentimental, or those coexist bumper stickers, whatever. It's well-intentioned, right? But it doesn't actually address the root of our conflict. There's a reason that we fight with each other. It's because we are at war with God. So we have to talk about our deepest problem And then we can start talking about peace. In verse 13, Mark talked about this last week. He says, you have been brought near, how? Through the blood of Christ. So I want you to see the last page of the Bible and how the story ends. So it begins with humanity being driven out of the presence of God, an angel with a flaming sword guarding the tree of life and saying, no, you may not enter. And this is how the story ends in Revelation 22. He says, then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. Look at what happens when sin is gone. People are healed. People are restored to right relationship with God and with each other. So because Jesus himself on the cross took upon himself the curse, he is able to walk us, just like Paul says, we have access to the Father through one Spirit. So Jesus walks us right past that angel with the flaming sword. I don't know if you're going to stand before the pearly gates and St. Peter. I think there will be a sword, an angel with a flaming sword, and Jesus is going to walk us right past him. And we're going to look upon him. In verse 4 in Revelation 22, we didn't read this, but it says, we will see his face. And notice in Ephesians 2, Paul says that he has given us access. He's brought us into the king's courts, but he says what? It's access to the Father. Jesus is bringing us, not just before a king, but before our heavenly Father. And he says that he does this in one Spirit. If you want to read the longer version of Ephesians 2, read Romans 8, okay? In Romans 8, 15, he says that he's given us this spirit of sonship, and the spirit in us cries out, Abba, Father. And he says, the spirit testifies with our hearts that we are children of God. So what Jesus does this morning is he walks us into the presence of God, and he speaks to us, and he reminds us of who we are. And I just imagine this during worship. You know, we walk in here, we're standing here, we're looking at these words, and we start singing, and maybe thoughts come to mind, distracting thoughts, and maybe as you're worshiping, all of a sudden this thought comes to mind, like, who do you think you are? What are you even doing here at church? You're such a hypocrite. You don't belong here. Look, after all you've done this week, you think you can just come in here and start singing? Singing about how much you want God and how beautiful he is? Look at your life. It's a joke. And we start feeling condemned. And we start feeling like we don't belong here. We look around and other people look like they're really into the worship, and we're like, yeah, maybe I don't belong here. Maybe I'm not even a Christian. And you know what the Holy Spirit does? He brings us in and he says, look at the cross. You've been forgiven. You are loved. You are redeemed. You are accepted by the Father. Jesus himself, through the Spirit, walks you in and says, you are a son, not a slave. You are a daughter of the Most High. So he gives us access to the Father. He undoes the effect of the curse, which is to separate us from God, to separate us from each other. And as we draw near to God here in the church, we draw near to each other. And those things that divide us don't matter anymore, because we're like moving toward that point on the triangle where we're coming to the cross, and we come together as one body. And as our relationship with God the Father is restored, our relationship with each other as brothers and sisters is restored. This is what we celebrate in communion. The body of Christ broken for us, and we become the unified people of God. Okay, so verse 19, he goes on and he says, "So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God." The second thing Jesus does, first, Jesus gives us access, but second, Jesus makes us citizens. He makes us citizens. Paul says, you are no longer strangers, aliens. What he's saying is, you're no longer someone just passing through who doesn't really belong in the temple courts, standing outside that dividing wall that separates you from the people of God. A stranger or an alien, it's someone with like a tourist visa that's just kind of walking through a country that's not their own. That's what we used to be related to the people of God. We were not a part of the people of God. But now we have become fellow citizens, he says, with the saints. Now, this is an amazing statement, but what he's saying is, remember all those rock stars in the Old Testament? Abraham, Moses, David. He says, there is no difference between you and them. You have become one with them, citizens of Israel. So, almost every illustration is going to be related to China, okay? It's on my mind. So, I know what it's like to be a foreigner and an alien, right? I'm walking through this country. I don't recognize any of the writing, right? It's the Chinese symbols. It makes no sense to me. I don't know how to say any more words in Chinese than when I left, okay? Xie xie, thank you. Ni hao, hello. I think that's right? I had this sense the whole time, you know, I'm jet lagged. They're 14 hours ahead of us. That's just weird. It's like I'm awake when I should be sleeping. I'm sleeping when I should be awake. Every morning I'm waking up and it feels like I just took a nap. The whole time there I've got this like pounding tired headache, you know, when you're just so tired and you're trying to stay awake with caffeine or whatever, and it's like your eyes just hurt. And one day I was sick, I was throwing up, and it's coming out of all ends of my body and everything, and I'm just like, man, my body is just not used to this. I'm wrecked. I don't belong here. I've got my passport wherever I go just in case something happens, because I'm not a citizen of China. I have no rights there. Okay, so I'm just a foreigner in a foreign land. My body didn't know what to do with all the vegetables and rice. We got to Hong Kong, and this guy had, one of our friends there had ordered a bloomin' onion. You know, because they've got some American restaurants there. You know what I'm talking about? The greasy, the breaded onion that's like deep fat fried. And he got one of those and he had some leftovers. And I looked at that and I'm like, oh, that will solve all my problems, because my body knows exactly what to do with that. Okay. The rice and vegetables, I don't know. The blooming onion, it was like, oh, yes, this will fix everything. So I ate some of that and it didn't work. But anyway. Here's the point. I didn't belong in China, okay? And I knew that. I was a foreigner. And Paul is saying, that's exactly what we were before Christ. And we were walking around this world, and we didn't actually belong with the people of God. We didn't have access to God. But what Jesus has done is he has, yes, he's given us access, but what this means for us now is that we are citizens. Like, we belong in God's kingdom. We are members of his family. So we can throw away the passport. We belong in heaven with God. We have a new citizenship, and it's not your main identity is not as an American, but as a Christian. And this was amazing when we were worshiping with our brothers and sisters in Christ in this little apartment living room. And I'm looking at, we've got this little screen set up, and the worship songs, the whole service is in Chinese. And I've got my Google Translator app, which is amazing, by the way. I'm holding my phone up to the screen, and it's translating the words on the screen, the Chinese symbols, into English. And I'm able to sing with them. And I'm looking around at these people, and I'm thinking, these precious brothers and sisters, I have more in common with this 23-year-old Chinese girl than I do my neighbor who's waving the American flag. I have more in common with them than I do the people who enjoy the same hobbies that I have or are part of the same political party or whatever. Like, I am one with these people. And the spirit that was there in that living room was palpable. It's like you could just sense the presence of Jesus among us as we worshiped him, and as all those barriers of culture and language just went away, and all that mattered was that we were citizens of heaven and we were worshiping Jesus together. He goes on in verse 20. He says, you are built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together. Let me stop here. He says that Jesus is the cornerstone. The word actually literally means the tip of the angle. Everything in the building was built off this cornerstone. In fact, in the temple, an archaeologist discovered one of these stones. This wasn't like a little cornerstone. This stone was like 39 feet wide. This humongous stone was the cornerstone. And God is building this building, the church, and Jesus is the cornerstone. So if you take Jesus out of the equation, what do you get? The whole building falls, right? It's like trying to take that bottom piece, if you play Jenga, you know, that bottom piece that's holding everything up and the whole thing's wobbling, and it's on that one piece. That's like if you take Jesus out of the equation, the whole thing falls. There is nothing left. Jesus is the cornerstone, and he's building on top of Jesus with the apostles and prophets, he says. These were the eyewitnesses of Jesus' resurrection. These were the people that were around and saw Jesus after he was crucified, buried, and raised. And these people that the apostles and prophets that wrote the New Testament, God is building his church on these people. And then he says, we grow into a holy temple in the Lord, verse 21. And then in him, you also, you are being built together to become a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. Okay. Now, the temple was the place where God dwelt. And in these temple courts, you had this court of the Gentiles where we had to be on the outside, and then the Jewish people could go in. And then in the inner part was the most holy place, and that was the place where God dwelt. And Paul is using this word for the most holy place, the inner sanctuary, and he's saying, you, people of God, you now are the holy place. So the last point I want to make is that Jesus makes us his temple. Jesus is making a temple. You're a part of that. Built on Jesus, the apostles and prophets, and we are growing together. And he uses the present tense. We are growing. This temple is continuing to be built. And he says we are being built together. 1 Peter 2 says that we all are like living stones. We're all a part. I know this is hard for us to understand because we don't build buildings out of stones as much. So this is the equivalent of him saying, like, you're a 2x4 that God is using to build. Okay, you're not the main thing, right? Take you out and the whole thing's, it's going to happen, right? Jesus is the foundation. He's the footings. The whole thing is built on him, but you're a part of it. You're a piece of drywall. You're a 2x4, right? You are a part of this structure. It's not just about you, right? A 2x4 on its own is just a 2x4. But a 2x4, a part of God's temple, it becomes the place where God dwells. So here's a challenge for us. We often think of, when we think of our relationship with God, we think of it in isolation, like in terms of our personal relationship with Jesus. Now, there is an aspect where this is true, that you have a personal relationship with Jesus, but Paul is saying that he wants us to think of ourselves in terms of us, not me. So not about I, it's about we. It's about us. I hear people say this, and I think this is a dangerous idea. You hear people say something like, to worship God, I don't need the church. And that sounds spiritual, doesn't it? Like, it's just me and Jesus. I don't need the church. Now, in a sense, I think sometimes what people are, when they say church, what they're meaning is kind of the institutional high church, right? That corrupt institution. Okay, maybe they associate it with a building or denomination or whatever. That's not necessarily the church we're talking about here. We're talking about this multi-ethnic, spiritual, global church that God is building, and even local churches, like Veritas Church is a local church. We're a part of this greater church. But that statement, to worship God, I don't need the church, is almost like saying, to eat, I don't need food. Or to play basketball, I don't need a basket or a ball, right? It just almost doesn't make sense, because the church is the place where God dwells, and you're being built together. You are a part of God's church. And this is why Jesus says, where two or more are gathered in my name, there I am with them. That's in the context of Jesus describing church discipline. This idea of the gathering of the church. You'll notice in the Lord's Prayer, when Jesus teaches us to pray, he doesn't say, here's how you should pray. Go into your closet and say, my Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Give me this day my daily bread, right? It's corporate. Our Father, give us this day our daily bread. Lead us not into temptation. So I want to encourage us. Some of you may come this morning, and you may be a little jaded with the whole church thing. Maybe you have seen firsthand some of the corruption, some of the sin and brokenness and evil in the church. And I want to encourage you this morning to fight the urge to be critical. It's always easier to be critical and throw stones than it is to build bridges, right? I mean, it's easy to be critical. It's easy to see the fault in others. But what Paul is calling us to is he's saying, Jesus has given you access to the Father. And what that means is that you are a citizen now of God's kingdom. You're a member of his family, and you are a part of the church. You're being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. And so I want to encourage you that this is the beautiful bride of Christ. This is the holy temple of God. And I hope that when you come, you will see that this is a place where, yes, we are sinners, but we are being transformed by his grace. So I love this quote from Eugene Peterson. I follow him on Twitter. He wrote the Message translation of the Bible, and he tweeted this the other day. He said, there's nobody who doesn't have problems with the church because there's sin in the church. But there's no other place to be a Christian. So this morning, is there brokenness? Is there conflict in your heart with God or with the church or with someone in this room? Is there conflict in your heart with someone from another church in this city or with another church in this city? Maybe you have been saying bad things about another church in our city. Maybe this morning, you need to be reminded that through Christ, we are brought together as one, unified through the blood of Christ. And all those things that separated us, Jesus died for that. The curse was that we were at war with God, and therefore we were at war with each other. But in the church, let's not allow political ideology to separate us. Let's not allow sin and conflicts. And this is where we move into a time of communion. And see, this is symbolic of the unity that we have in Christ. See, when Jesus was crucified, before he was crucified, he ate one last meal with the disciples. And he took one loaf to symbolize the one body of Christ. And he says, "This is my body that's broken for you." And he says, this is the blood of the new covenant. Paul says in Ephesians, through this blood, Jesus put to death their hostility. The hostility that separated us, that kept us as outsiders looking in to the people of God. Now we have access to the Father through the blood of Christ. And maybe this morning you have never received the blood of Christ. Maybe you have thought that there is some other way to get to God. But I am telling you, Jesus Christ is the only way to God. He himself took upon in his body the curse of sin and separation, and he brought us near. And so this morning, I would invite you to take communion if you have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It may be a mustard seed faith. It may be your first, this may be the first time ever you've said, I believe Jesus. I want access to God. We welcome you to participate in communion. So there are tables around the room. This one in the front is gluten-free. And as we worship, what we do is just, when you're ready, we've got a couple worship songs, so there's plenty of time. Worship team, you guys can come on up, and there's going to be plenty of time for you to just pray. If you need to spend some time praying, confessing sin, maybe there's conflict or brokenness with someone in this room. Maybe there's someone you need to text. Confession of sin is a requirement to take communion. So don't come flippantly to the tables. Come humbly. Come confessing your sin and come to receive the grace of our Lord Jesus. And you can just take the bread, you can dip it in the cup, and you can take it in remembrance of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. So we say this morning to you, Jesus, the chief cornerstone. Thank you for making us a part of your holy temple. Thank you for dealing with our sin problem, because we know that we have no business being in your presence. We deserve to be banished. We don't deserve to eat from the tree of life, and yet, through Christ, you give us access to the Father. Thank you. And this morning, as we take communion, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will bind us together in unity. God, I pray that you would unleash your power to release people of sin. There are some people here this morning that feel trapped in their addiction, trapped in their sin. God, would you just release them by the power of your blood, the blood of Jesus. Bring confidence this morning. Testify to our hearts that we belong here, because we are your children. Let's do this in remembrance of him.